Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Today I'm chatting to ShyFX. Shy is a DJ from the UK who also produces jungle and drum and bass. I've been to so many of his gigs and I really love what he does. And today I'm going to chat to the man behind the music. Welcome to Thinking Big with me, Maisie Williams.
I don't know if you want to wear these or not.
Have you got a pair?
I don't, okay, but if cool. You want to wear these.
No, actually, just to hear
how
sexy
totally.
I'm sounding first.
Absolutely. So.
So.
You're called ShyFX because you would probably describe yourself as quite shy.
Something like that. Yeah.
A lot of people in the office were quite shocked to hear that, and I think a lot of people listening would probably be a little, wouldn't understand that. But through producing music, you've created a really large audience for yourself.
Yeah.
How has that been? How do you deal with that, going on stage in front of so many people?
Shy came from being socially awkward. And so that's how I was called Shy at school. Effects got tagged on later.
Mm-hmm.
Playing in front of a large audience, to be fair, even till this day, I'm not really used to it or comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I've always got my cap down low. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm thankful for the MC or whatever artist I'm working with because they're at the front of house taking all the heat.
Yeah, totally. However,
I normally just get into my zone. I just zone out and, you know, almost just picture something else. And I kind of feel like I'm in my studio or something when I'm behind the decks. And, you know, it's like I own it. But, you know, when I'm aware of people in front of me, that's why I'm like, oh, good.
Totally. Yeah. So I like to start my podcast with the same three questions that I ask everyone that comes on. The first one is, when you were a kid, what was your big dream for when you grew up?
And I was mad. I grew up in Tottenham, in an estate around Tottenham, and my big dream was just to get out of that and travel the world, which I ended up doing. But yeah, that was our big dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the second question, which leads on really nicely, is how does that compare to what you're doing now?
I'm living the dream, basically.
Yeah. Totally. And now that you've achieved that, what is your big dreams for the future?
To continue, man. Continue doing that. Continue giving back. I don't know. I don't know how deep we're going to go with this conversation or whatever.
But, as deep as you want to go.
But music is love, man. And I just feel that it's been lost. The frequency is love. I think it's been hijacked. And it's, you know, it's about just getting back on focus and on track with that message and just spreading good vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that will come out in you know, whatever I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You spoke a little bit earlier about when you're on stage, you're really thankful of like the MC that you're with or whoever you're collaborating with in that moment.
Yeah.
How important has collaboration been for you as like a music producer?
Yeah.
So much of what you do revolves around another artist maybe or other people that you're working with. Like how much has collaboration played a key part in what you're doing now?
it's changed the game for me. I mean, I started off like most of the early dance jungle producers, it's just being in a room by myself, no windows, you know what I mean? Just a studio by yourself for hours, sometimes days, just making music and getting lost in the source. By that way, you know, you develop your own style or whatnot, but it's only when I started to work with, I always worked with other MCs, so they always added, you know, a vibe and energy to the set, but it's always produced by myself until I worked with T-Power. And then that's when we made tunes like Shake Your Body and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't turned, you know, I'm always on that vibe now, whether it's other, you know, musicians or sound designers or whatever, there's always someone in the mix with things. It just brings another energy. Even when you make mistakes in front of people, you know, you might, if you're on your jacks, you might be like, nah, this is long, it's not really working. Some people, no, there's something in there. And before you know it, you know, you've got another pair of ears, it's gone somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, especially like the projects that I'm doing now and stuff, there's just so much magic in working with other people. And it's mixing, you know, just other energy, you know?
Mm-hmm. What's your favourite DJing or producing?
Right now, production.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time it's the studio, it's studio work, but sometimes, especially when you've been in it as long as I have, again, you can really get caught up. And it's good to... Actually, you know what? That's a really difficult question, thinking about it. It depends how deep I am in production mode. It's like now, it's really sick playing. I'm going against what I just said.
It's good.
Like when you make a tune in the studio and you're going mad and you're banging the walls and everyone's jumping up and down and you're feeling like you are the man / whatever. To then, especially if you get a chance to mix it down that day, and to then test it out the same night and then seeing the reaction. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of...
Yeah, they go hand in hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautifully.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a difficult one.
You've played a lot of festivals, headlined mm-hmm. a lot of festivals. I've been and watched you at many festivals. Do you have one that comes to mind that's like one of your favourites up there?
No. whenever I'm doing a stage, like when I was doing the digital soundboy thing or, mm-hmm. or the Party in the Moon thing or Now's the Culture, I enjoy that because it's not just me, it's family and friends, and do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So whenever I've got something like that happening at a festival, I'm sure after this I'm going to think of loads of, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
totally.
I
think like it always seems very apparent with like whenever I'm with you like backstage or anything like that, how you work with Digital Soundboy in comparison to how people work with other stages.
Yeah.
It is very much a family back there, and the vibe is like very inclusive and there's no drama or friction or anything. No. Everyone is just like really proud of you and happy to be on your stage and backstage with you. So
that's sick. Thank you.
Makes a lot of sense. So last night we spoke a little bit about it, but when you did Culture Clash,
mm-hmm.
we spoke about Earl's Court a little bit then.
Yeah.
Has there been any venues that have been your favourites to play? Or, I mean, venues is like so broad because like that was more about it being Culture Clash. It's not really about Earl's Court, but.
Right. So venues, different venues for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more the type of venue. So I love small clubs. I really love small clubs because there's more of a connection. It's intimate. You can usually go deeper.
Mm-hmm.
You could do 2-3 hours and still feel comfortable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The bigger festivals and stuff, all good. But, you know, there's nothing like a small, intimate venue. They're not really about anymore, but things like Cable... And Herbal and stuff like that were my favourite clubs, I guess. Obviously, clubs like Fabric and that, but I'm just associating good memories with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Culture Clash was amazing, but it's more the event. I like some of the ones we've done. Well, yeah, Red Bull seemed to really pull it out, to be fair.
Yeah.
We did one at the London Eye, which was really cool, actually being in the pod, you know.
Yeah.
But then... when I do my parties, I try to find, you know, really cool venues and give people an experience where, you know, they wouldn't normally get to rave in the venues that we throw our parties mm-hmm. at. So, I don't know. Again, there's too many. And that's just London. I mean, there's venues around the world that, I love. And
You're very famous for your dub plates that you pull out all the time.
Yeah.
Is there any that you're really, really proud of that when you play, you still get a buzz now?
Hey. I love them all, to be fair. But there's one I made when I first started doing the dub plate thing.
Mm-hmm.
I had this News at 10 news intro, which is similar to the visuals that we did at Culture Clash, actually.
Right.
The idea kind of came from that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd always put the name of the venue that I was performing at. So I'd find out, you know, all the gigs I was doing that month. And then there'd be this big intro about, you know, the venue and I've arrived. And it was, you know, a little bit up myself, to be fair. But that's dub plates, isn't it?
I bet everyone was just going crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? So, but no, and more so a lot of the... the reggae dub plates that I've got from guys that I grew up listening to, you know, knowing that I've got them on dub plate mentioning my name and, mm-hmm. you know, that's, yeah. If I could ever tell my 16-year-old self that I'd be doing this now, do you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. You started your record label, Digital Soundboy.
Yeah.
What was the reasoning behind that? What motivated you to start signing people yourself?
Yeah, so before that, you know, yeah, there were various things. I was always signed to whether it be an independent label or I had a short run with a major, actually a few. but at that point, I was just getting bored mm-hmm. of everything. What attracted me to jungle at the time was there's nothing like it. And it was just a melting pot of different cultures and genres and whatever else. And I thought at that period it got lost. And all of us that started and got involved in jungle, we all came from different backgrounds. So we all had different things to say and you could hear it in the music.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the producers that were coming through at that point, they grew up listening to jungle and drum and bass, so they didn't have any other reference points and it became quite incestuous and you could hear that in the music.
Mm-hmm.
So the soul, for me, the soul had gone. And I wanted to create a label that had the same ethos, which is a melting pot of different styles and genres and all of that. So yeah, that was the birth of Digital Soundboy. And at that point, we started to find loads of different guys and acts and whatever that just had this vibe about them. And their whole thing as well was like, I was nearly going to, I was about to swear there.
You can. Stephen did the other day.
Yeah, everyone's just on the, it's not about anything, it's just about good music.
Yeah.
I mean, the dots need to join. It needs to be something, a common thread, I guess. But yeah, I mean, that was it. It was just trying to, I wanted to build a like-minded camp as well.
Yeah.
I've really loved the idea of having a camp of people on the same mission, everyone playing their position. Do you know what I mean? Just bouncing ideas. I mean, look, just what we created at that point was just so insane. The studio sessions were mad. Mm-hmm. The gigs were mad. I'd do a thing where anyone, we're all A&R of the label. So I don't know, say if B-Trait said she found something and if I'd signed that track, then she'd get a percentage of the label's royalties, et cetera, et cetera.
Nice.
Do you know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
it encouraged everyone. Everyone just felt part of it because we all were part of this thing, you know
yeah.
what I mean? So I've lost the question. I'm just rambling on. But
no,
hey.
Just like why you did it. And that's exactly it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Creating, you know, like another family with
yeah, there's a family and just wanting to get just real good music out and just a reset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of DJs who are really big in the scene right now. And so many of them had a huge platform and were almost launched through playing on your stages. You always delivered some really interesting lineups and things that I came to watch you and then found all these other artists.
Yeah.
How proud are you to watch these people grow?
Sick. I mean, yeah, it's... You know, I don't even think of it like that. It's more, I just know what I'm feeling. I get gassed when I see new energy coming about.
Yeah.
I just want to be involved. Do you know what I mean? I just love it. And, you know, sometimes people are late on picking up on a vibe. You know, sometimes people just jump on the hype. But I'm always like, are you mad? Do you not see what this is? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just
like, yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's nice to know that people like Stormzy, the very first festival he played at was my stage
mm-hmm.
at Love Saves the Day. And knowing that, you know, a few
what
years...
What year was that?
Oh, cool. I don't know. I can't remember. A few years back then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But a year later, we couldn't afford him. You know,
yeah,
that's
right.
That's pretty much what it was. You know what I mean?
You got him right at the sweet
yeah,
point.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
But no, this... Yeah, I don't really think about it like that. It's just, I'm just gassed that yeah, people want to be part of it. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
And you started Culture as a way of giving back. You spoke a little bit about it earlier.
Yeah.
How important is that to you, giving back to these communities? And like, if you talk a little bit about what culture does, if anyone listening isn't familiar.
Well for me, that's how I got involved in it. Yes, it was a scheme that someone had set up in Hackney that, allowed me to have my first placement at a studio. And, you know, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
Right.
So it's very, very, very important to give back and, give people the same opportunities that I had. For one, you know, that's the first level of it. And you know what? I just feel, you know, that I'm me and some of the people around, at least, we're here to serve a bigger purpose, man. I know that sounds not, you know, again, I don't want to go into too much of a spiritual one or whatever, but there's stuff to be done, and the whole culture thing. Yeah, it's the parties and everything else, but it's pop-ups and workshops and charities. I mean, it will all start to unfold, like, next year, do you know what I mean? But we started with the parties and a few pop-ups, and there's a lot planned for, you know, 2019 onwards.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Giving people an opportunity just to even see if, like, you just wanted to get out of Tottenham.
Yeah.
Giving people a little taste of something that they could create for themselves.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to be that whole, you know, that whole cliche, but if it wasn't for music, my path would have been completely different, you know what I mean? Due to just where I grew up and my surroundings and stuff. You know? Mm-hmm. It's the fact that someone saw something in me and helped me out, you know what I mean? That's enabled me to live the dream, you know what I mean? So, it's just really important.
Yeah. So it's clear that you feel quite like a responsibility to give back, because someone once gave you an opportunity and now you want to provide that for other people.
Yeah.
What do you hope you leave behind when you're gone? Like, what do you want people to have learned?
Oh, wow.
It's quite a big question.
Isn't it?
But I know I'm asking it from the right guy.
Yeah. Love. That's it. I think when you meet someone, I think you remember how people make you feel, how they made you feel. You don't really remember anything, you know, you might do, but you remember how someone made you feel. And I'm just really about trying to spread love and everything, you know, that that attracts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just think we're just in a bit of a mad time at the minute. And it's our responsibility, those of us that are on, you know, at the forefront, to spread that, you know what I mean? And help everyone. And we are so blessed, you know what I mean? To do what we're doing. How dare we disrespect our blessings by just thinking about ourselves? That's mad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And I've been talking to a lot of people this week about, like, you know, the responsibility that comes with having the platform that we do and like getting success, but wanting to like spread that further. And it's just great to hear you.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense to me. And then when I'm around people that harbour that energy, where it's about them, and I'd really try hard to break through that, for one. But if I can't, I just keep it moving. I really haven't got time or patience for any of that. It's like, we're so blessed to be in this position. There's so many people that love to, that just can't. We were chosen for a reason, and again, just don't disrespect it, do you know what I mean? Because the energy will come back, and you won't want that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just know that it's bigger than us, and the thing is as well, from a music point of view, I don't think, like, when people talk about, how did it feel to make this, or blah, 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 I don't take the credit for it. I don't feel like I make the music. I just feel like I'm open and I channel something. But I don't think that's I don't think that's coming from me. That's coming from somewhere else. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just grateful that I'm allowed and I'm open enough to let that channel through. And with that, I'm not disrespecting it at all. Do you know what I mean? And don't get twisted. I've got lost at times. Do you know what I mean? And started feeling myself. And as everyone does at the time, I think I was around 17 when that happened. But,
right, it's understandable.
Yeah, but you know, yeah. Again, we can go on this path for ages, but you get the
Totally. Vibe. And like, I think someone as big as yourself, and particularly in the music scene where quite often people do, it is so centered around the individual and the image and like the new like rebrand that they're coming out with, that you can really lose what it is just to be like a human.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think, you know, being as massive as you are, like it's really wonderful to hear you speak like that. It's just you. What have, to round us off, what have been some of your most valuable life lessons?
Oh wow.
People that you've met, people that have taught you things.
Everyone's going through something. That's some, you know, I've met so many people who, I mean, I know you know this, but you still have it in your head, I mean, especially when you meet your idols, that, you know, they got it right and whatever else. But whenever you sit down with people, you always, everyone's learning, do you know what I mean? Everyone is experiencing something. Everyone, I'm not sure where I'm going to go with this one. But yeah, everyone's going through something.
Yeah. I guess you just try to be as understanding
as possible.
Yeah.
I think especially in this game as well, man, it's so, I think something attracts musicians to this game. I'm talking more from a production point of view and more of the old school producer, I guess, the ones that were, that could sit in a room for hours by themselves creating. But it's a certain headspace, and it's, yeah, it's a, I find loads of people that are involved on this side of it, they are actually trying to escape from something else, usually, do you know what I mean? The amount of conversations I have with people where, you know, whether it looks like it's all good and whatnot, and then, you know, they party a bit too hard or what, they're all running away from something, do you know what I mean? And, and the amount of people that have issues that they're not dealing with, do you know what I mean? But they use music to escape, and they love, you know, like I said, just get caught up in all the other vices. But I'm drifting again. I always do
not at all. I think like with so many artists, what I've really learned moving through my industry, but also even just in these couple of podcasts that I've shot, people, there's so much pain. All of this creativity comes from quite often a place of like real pain. And, the fact that people get a chance to turn it around and make it into something beautiful, I think is so important. And, you know, for the people that are just stuck and lost their way, like, to, it's what you're doing with culture, but to be able to just spin them around and show them that they can have all this energy and they can put it into something amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, what else have I learned?
No, I wanted to circle back a little bit. Just thinking, like, of people listening, I had a question recently. I've been doing a few talks at universities, which has been really nice to get in the room with people who are just to try and inspire them to shoot for a career within the creative industries. But someone said, like, how a lot of my advice is about collaborating and meeting new people and working with new people, and like through working in a group or meeting new people, these opportunities start to come up more frequently. And someone said, like, what, how do I do that when I'm shy? And I guess I kind of, that's a good question for you.
I don't.
How did you, when you were starting out, how did you get?
The thing is, I was the complete opposite, like the complete opposite. And I'm really sensitive to energy as well. And it's like, if I feel, if I feel that the energy is off or it doesn't quite connect with mine, I just move away from it quickly.
Okay.
Or used to. You know what it is? That this is not going to help anybody, to be fair, but I just think the music got so big that people really, you know, started reaching out to me.
Nice.
And at some point, I started to take the plunge, you know what I mean? And then it's like, actually,
that is helpful, I think. Yeah. Like, I think sometimes people can feel like if they're being creative on their own that no one's ever going to notice. Yeah. But for you, you're like living proof that it does.
Yeah.
It does work.
I like the way you did that.
No, totally. No. Thank you. Is there anything that you've got coming up soon that you want to talk about?
When's this coming out?
This will probably be some point in February.
Okay, cool. So what would have come out by then? So my sound tape album's coming out in the next week or so. called Ragamuffin. Which is kind of it's an album, but I'm calling it a sound tape because it's got the excitement of a mixtape. It's an album.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a bit of a madness. When you hear it, it will make a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. So that's coming out soon. And a lot of the guys who I've worked with on this project, I've got individual sound tapes coming out with them as well. So it's a busy year.
Definitely.
Busy year.
I can't wait to hear. Thank you so much for being a part of this.
Thank you. And I love what you're doing, by the way.
Thanks.
Or I wouldn't be here. No.
Yeah, we'll do some sort of collaboration between Culture and Daisy. I think go hand in hand quite 100. Nicely. Thank you. I hope you have a nice rest of your evening.
Thank you too.
Thank you so much for listening. I really hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to subscribe to my lovely podcast, and a special thanks to Uber drivers who don't start conversations with you on a long night out.